I am joined in a studio by Adam Pantanowitz. He's, of course, an engineer twice over, but we don't hold that against him. We try and focus in this slot on the future, and technology. Today we want to talk about future with specific reference to competition. What does that even mean? You know, obviously this incorporates conversations around designer babies, genetically enhanced babies, and people. That's already happening, and is potentially a slippery slope. Sporting events, we can talk about sports enhancements, blurring the boundaries of competition, as well as potential brain enhancements. Adam, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me again.
So, yeah, we thought, you know, we'd get you back. And see, well,
that's great.
You know, see where this went. But the reality is there are lines that are continually being blurred and challenged. Even if we look at, if we start off with the most basic, not the most basic because it's probably the least basic, but let's start off at the beginning, and that's in birth. People that are go for fertility treatment, for example, can choose if they want to have one baby or two babies. They can choose if they want to have a boy baby or a girl baby. So already, you know, we check for certain illnesses and can deal with it either pre-birth, at birth, you know, before, and try and eliminate them. So we're already well on our way, aren't we?
Yes, certainly. I mean, the technologies that enable these types of medical applications are quite advanced and have been around for a while. And while when at the onset of these technologies, they stirred up quite a lot of media and interest, they're almost taken for granted now in society that these technologies are something that are great for medical purposes, to enable people to have babies if they are otherwise unable to do so, and of course to eliminate diseases, which are which is a great endeavor. It's scientific endeavor. And so the you mentioned boundaries are starting to blur, and this is certainly the case. Recently in news, we've seen in China, I think that we're onto our second case now. It's rumored. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually been confirmed, but it's not confirmed what the changes are, that there were babies that were effectively genetically engineered to have non-medical advantages. Now, that statement needs to be considered carefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that statement actually mean?
Yeah, so in this case, these babies had some inherent HIV immunity built into. So one could argue that that is a medical benefit.
Okay.
However, I think that it's very clear that the world round feels that a line has been crossed here. That something, some boundary has been crossed. The researcher who took the step and produced these babies, there was a full term pregnancy. These babies were born. This researcher in particular has been, I just read, you know, detained by the Chinese government. He was fired from his university, and he certainly has been deemed to have crossed a major boundary.
Which is so interesting because, you know, if you had asked me, I would say, well, maybe that hasn't crossed the line. I mean, what happens if we give our kids vaccines against whooping cough? What's the difference if we go a little bit further back and engineer that they don't ever get whooping cough, for example?
So this is why this is such a complex and challenging topic, because that is a great point. In fact, we don't want the society to be afflicted by things like measles and whooping cough. We want to eradicate those you know, those terrible conditions that can cause terrible consequences.
Right.
And of course, in doing so, we are gearing us up for a different future. However.
Right. Because once we eliminate whooping cough, then maybe we'll eliminate my asthma and my flat feet, and make me just a little bit taller so that I could run better in Boxburg or anywhere else. In fact, on that note, Steve G says Boxburg is not as flat as Bloemfontein. In Bloem, you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. All right, Steve. The point is that I might not like my Jewish-looking nose, and so we start to make those changes, because where are the lines in terms of medical versus quality of life versus vanity versus all sorts of things?
Right, and it's so difficult to define those boundaries. Mm. In fact, speaking of a boundary, Steve must know that the curvature of the Earth is just about 20 kilometers. And
so it's unlikely that dog can run for
it. It's a very slow dog.
Yeah. With little legs, yes.
The truth is that we don't yet know what the consequences are of these actions. So in this context, these CRISPR changes to the DNA of these young children, we don't necessarily understand the longer term consequences of those changes.
Right.
And I think a lot of people who have been frustrated or concerned ethically that this has occurred have really been focused on what are the long-term effects of this? What is going to happen as a result of this? And of course, what floodgates are being opened? Now, I must mention that very reputable people in this field have mentioned to me over a year ago, actually, that they believe that this type of adjustment to embryos had been going on for a very long time. This is seemingly, now that is speculative, but these are informed people who have mentioned this, and one must note that that is possible. The technology has been around. This is the first time that it's come into the public eye. But it brings about all sorts of questions around competitive advantages. And I want to mention to you an idea that is of great concern to us all as humans now. There's this idea about the bifurcation or the separation of humanity, the splitting of humanity. And the bifurcation is a term that really means something splits. You see it in anatomy when an artery splits. It's called a bifurcation. And the concern that we face is that people who have access to these types of technologies, people who are economically able to afford or otherwise able to afford these technologies, would inherently gain massive advantage. The type of advantage that would be orders of magnitude over someone who doesn't obtain these advantages.
So I want to stop you there. Effectively, what you're saying is, let's say in a poorer country or on a poorer continent, you will see less advances, let's say from a physical medical enhancement perspective, than you would in a wealthy country. Okay, so, it's simply put. In other words, let me just follow my thought process and ask you that question. So, in other words, let's say somewhere in I don't know, Botswana, you might find that people there will not have the same advantage to somebody living in the United States. The problem, I mean, the reality is that if you look at training, let's say for an Olympic sport, and we've seen it here in South Africa as well, when we've compared our swimmers here who haven't got brilliant facilities to swimmers who have trained in the United States where they have gone through these scientific programs with brilliant and unbelievable things available to them, we're already seeing that, aren't we?
I think certainly when it comes to sports competition, you're seeing the forefront of this conversation.
Right.
So just to finish that idea on the bifurcation, that's totally you're totally on point there. Mm. I think it's any type of access to these types of technologies which can dramatically enhance and augment our abilities, whether they are cognitive abilities or physical abilities, whichever abilities a person possesses may be dramatically enhanced through these technologies, orders of magnitude in terms of measurement of the enhancement. So this is something that is quite frightening for us. We've seen wealth inequality causing great disruption in society and causing great problems in society. So certainly this type of advantage could be even more dramatic than that if we project forward.
In terms of, what's the word you used? Bifurcation.
Bifurcation.
Bifurcation of humanity. The counter to that, I could possibly argue, is that, let's just take something like, antiretrovirals. If that became available when they were made available, they did become available first and foremost to first world countries where people could afford it. Ultimately, it does trickle through the rest of the world. So that argument that we shouldn't continue along a certain path because it will create a more of a split between the have and have nots, I guess is the only way to talk about it, is limited because ultimately the way progress works is that it does trickle through as it becomes cheaper, more available, mass produced, etc.
So you raise a great point there because this is what technology does. So if we project this forward to the future and we think about how technology democratizes access to both information and access to itself. What technology inherently does is it brings down costs. It democratizes the, you know, you look at the price curve for just about any technology, solar power being a great example. The prices come down exponentially over time. And that means that the availability of the technology becomes much greater. So yes, that is the absolute flip side. So while we have to be cautious of this as a phenomenon that could potentially be a problem for our society and for adoption of these technologies, on the other side, the availability of these technologies actually becomes great over time.
I'm chatting to Adam Pantanowitz, and we're talking about the future of a competition, designer babies, sporting events, potential brain enhancements. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Does it scare the bejeebies out of you, or do you think that this is tremendously exciting and something that we should? We are speaking about the future of competition, designer babies, sporting events, and potential brain enhancements. I want to know from you on 34519, do you think that it is fair to genetically enhance your baby or a baby that gives that person or that child a advantage? I'm not going to say it's an unfair advantage. I'm going to say an advantage over another. Do you think that it is fair to do that? I'll give you my view after I ask, check in with Adam and find out from him where he thinks this is all going and what he feels about it. Adam.
Specifically on designer babies, I think that it's almost inevitable that we're going to get to the point.
I can tell you, I can see that you're going to want a designer baby. Adam's the coolest guy ever. He's definitely going to want a designer baby. It's not even a question in my mind.
Well, yes. Thank you, Howard. I think that it's almost an inevitability that as the price becomes more readily available, it's almost going to be a foregone conclusion that we don't want disease. We want to eradicate disease from our society.
And that's where it'll start.
And that's where it has started. And I think that, as you mentioned, you raised some very specific questions about the boundaries being blurred. Those boundaries start to blur more and more, and it seems like an inevitable role that we get to the point where this technology almost becomes, you know, part and parcel of the process of having babies. So I almost imagine a future where that's going to be inevitable. My personal view on it is quite different. I think I really respect and admire the natural process. I think it's been quite amazing I think it's absolutely remarkable that we're in a position where we're able to engineer out disease, because disease is absolutely atrocious in every respect, and it should be done. But I also appreciate the older school way of doing things, you know, to have a normal baby, which is to
find a partner that that matches those characteristics. Lindy, what do you think? Are you going to do a designer baby one day?
No.
Why? You're cool. You could do designer.
I'm hoping my cool is cool enough to just.
I see where you're going.
Yeah,
there.
To just make sure that the baby's okay. So I don't think I'd ever have a designer baby.
You see, what's interesting to me is, you know, when people talk about an unfair genetic advantage, I often talk about this is, well, to some extent, I have fair and unfair in my family. My parents, my late mom, I don't think made it very far, over 5 foot. My father's not exactly a giant either. I was never going to be a basketball player, no matter what I wanted out of life. And I'm not sure that that's such a terrible thing. So there's my unfair advantage, unfair disadvantage, you could say. But maybe my unfair advantage is that they're bright people and passed on a certain ethics and intellect, etc. So, you know, could we argue that, well, you know, that's unfair or fair? You know, it's a word that is problematic in of itself, because, you know, by whose standard and who defines that level of fairness? We're living in a world that doesn't have a finite, firm moral compass. We don't share a universal moral compass. What might be deemed reasonable in South Africa might be unreasonable in China and vice versa. So I think my view is that whatever is available, let's go for it.
Well, that's interesting. I think the more traditional way of having babies is very statistical. You know, we can look at how
Right.
How the process is statistical, and I think that that element is now being loaded in a sense.
Mm.
So the dice are being loaded. I've actually got a fantastic expert on this, Kim Hewlett, who is one of the Singularity faculty. She actually has a talk on designer babies.
Oh, wow.
And I would love to hear her view on, you know, her personal view on this. And
yes,
it would be interesting to get that really considered view on this specific topic. But I personally,
your view?
I see it as the dice are being loaded. I think that it's difficult when it is not yet available to everybody. And that creates this disparity, that creates a potential bifurcation, that creates complexity, it creates advantage. We haven't even begun to talk about sports, and you've been moving the conversation then. This is such an interesting...
Well, let's then hold off on the sports conversation and focus very specifically, because we've spoken more about babies this time. Next week, let's speak about genetic and the future of sport. If you know, there was that whole argument about the length of Oscar Pistorius's blades and whether that gave him an unfair advantage over some of the other Paralympians. So these things are problematic. Shannon says, how's this any different from inoculations and vaccinations? I tend to agree that it's very, very similar. So your view is this, just to summarize, it's going there anyway. I think from what you're saying, your concerns are the bifurcation or the disparity between people and access to this, because it is obviously going to be an expensive, item. And, personally,
I think once we've understood the longer term consequences and we've been able to look at how this impacts not only society, but future generations, where these genetic enhancements have occurred, I think that it's almost going to be essential for us to build resilience to future disease. It's going to be, I'm saying actually build in resilience to future disease, not just current affliction, but future disease.
Mm.
So I believe that this is absolutely something that we have to pursue as mankind.
Mm. And science says, well, but I've heard about your ball skills. Okay, this is really a bit rude. And if I was sensitive, I would be offended. From what I've heard about your ball skills, even if you're 7 foot tall, you would still not make a decent basketball player. What is it? It's like Terrorized Tuesday. To some extent, it's actually a discussion that is even about all forms of medical progress. You know, I'm completely perplexed, and of course, I'm going to get tremendous pushback on this. I can't understand why anybody would want to have a baby naturally, so-called naturally today. You don't have your appendix out without an anesthetic. Why would you possibly want to go through, you know, 18 hours of grueling agony when there's a perfectly acceptable alternative? So, you know, and yet people still do choose that, because I don't know why. So, you know, I genuinely don't understand why we resist advancement. You know, I just can't imagine there's anything ethically wrong with having a baby through a very, very neat little cut, you know, and fully anesthetized. But yet we resist it. So we clearly do have some kind of a resistance to change.
So there's something very interesting about being able to schedule this totally biological event that really gave rise to our very humanity. This is the reason we are here. There was a biological event that occurred, a process that occurred for many generations. And ultimately, you know, we are here, and now we can suddenly schedule that event. So there's something very complex in that thought, is that we're taking ourselves out of our natural biology. We're taking ourselves out of our natural world into a different place. And I know many babies are born very successfully through cesarean section, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that we don't necessarily appreciate is that there is a hormonal process that goes on, both for the mother and for the baby. And for the mother, there are a variety of hormones that happen during the process of labor. Hormonal changes, of course, happen during the process of labor to prepare the body for labor and prepare the body after labor. So I think this idea of cesarean section, you know, choosing that you want to go up, totally your choice, you want to opt for that route.
Right.
I think there are complexities to that. You've got to recover from a surgery. You have to potentially recover your bank account. Maybe it's a bit more expensive to access. Right. So I think that we haven't necessarily understood all of the secondary effects and consequences. That's really the point I'm trying to make.
Right. And, of course, that is absolutely right. And D, it's signed DC says, if you come from fear, everything can be misinterpreted. Coming from love has a common sense boundaries. It's like certain Judeo-Christian beliefs that are misnomers, like Eve being evil and eating from the tree of knowledge. That is not evil, in my opinion, but inevitable to human progress. Designer babies wouldn't appeal to me, but laser in a medical technology does, each to their own, but bring down prices first and foremost. Ow, am I in trouble? You're not in trouble. That's the conversation we want to have. Time is 6:36.